Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jaden Daniels, scanning, throwing, end zone, touchdown! Washington, McLaurin, calls it in.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. It's a victory Hall & Oates Monday on G&D. Second time in 1 week on this show, we've been celebrating the Commanders putting on an offensive display for the country to enjoy, but more importantly, getting a pretty huge win. 3-1 now for Washington. That Tampa Bay game feels like a long time ago, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
That's how the season began, going to Tampa, getting eviscerated. I remember you and I feeling like they were a long ways away.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they are. Maybe we'll find out that this isn't reality either. But I like this team's chances to be in the thick of things all year long. Here's the big picture point I would make today. If you're hesitant to come around on the Commanders, you don't want to sip the Kool-Aid, fine, whatever. In fact, I'm waiting till after the Browns game to really jump all the way into the deep end. They beat Cleveland back at home. Not that the Browns are particularly good, but it's a letdown type spot. Winners of three in a row, coming home, reading your press clippings, family and friends seeing you first time since you got on the bird to go to Cincinnati. I could see them losing that game. That's certainly the way things have gone over the years around here. Right when everything starts trending in the right direction, one thing goes wrong,
rug pull,
quicksand
yeah.
begins, and they lose to Cleveland, and they're really 3-2. But if they're 4-1, you start talking about percentages of making the playoffs being pretty astronomical. It becomes pretty hard when you're 4-1 with their schedule not to be in the 8-9 win mix. You get to 10, you almost certainly get in. And you can start finding some wins. They've got games, the Giants again, the Panthers, the Bears don't look all that good. The East Division games against Dallas and Philadelphia, Danny, even those games, four of them, look a lot more winnable. Because that's the point I guess I wanted to make big picture is nobody in this division's any good. Washington's the only team that has looked good this season. The Eagles got destroyed by the Bucs. I don't know why everyone keeps telling me how good Philadelphia is. They're not. They haven't been since October of last year. This is who they are. The Cowboys are 2-2. They deserve to be 2-2. They're not that good. They got one weapon on offense. One. This division is there for you.
It's winnable. It is winnable. And the longer you're in it, the more of a possibility that becomes. You're talking about math. I mean, you and I, years ago in 2019, when the Nationals started off so terribly, right? And we're going, here's what they've done. They're not eliminated. It's not over. It's not going very well right now, obviously. But the math is not on their side. You have no margin for error. You can't do that bad 2 weeks where, you know, two starting pitchers get the flu, someone's got dead arm, and your best two hitters are in a slump, and you lose 8 of 10. You can't do that anymore and still make the postseason. Well, they didn't have that. They went on this rip-roaring run where they had the second-best winning percentage in baseball and were red-hot going to the postseason. Flip it here. For this Local 53, if you're 4-1 by hook or by crook, doesn't matter how you get there. Let's say you're 4-1. If you're just average, if you're 500 the rest of the way, that's a 10-win season. If you're, dare I say, above average, and God forbid, there's no huge regression, and you just kind of keep plugging away, and you win a game or two more than you lose, You won 11 games for the first time in more than three decades. That's the kind of position you put yourself in. Now, collapses are certainly possible. An injury here or there happens. One too many key guys go out. Schemes get figured out. Bad stuff happens all the time. It's the league. But the point is, the math and the path is now something that you've earned. You've created the ability to have meaningful football games. They're already to the point where there's a great chance they play meaningful football in December and maybe even into January. That is 100% on the table now, whereas I didn't know that it would be before now. But they've earned that right, which is really cool.
Yeah, I just think that if they play the way they've played the last 2 weeks, they can beat anybody. If they play the way they played against the Bengals, they're not a team in the NFL they can't beat. The only 4-0 team, other than the Chiefs, is the Vikings. They could beat either Kansas City or Minnesota playing that game. Kansas City is about as unimpressive a 4-0 team as you're going to find. They just have the ability to squeak out wins. It's a superpower. I don't really get it. It's ugly. There's no style points, but they just do it. And then they flip the switch in the playoffs. The Vikings, I think you asked Nate Davis about it. They got out to a 28-0 lead yesterday and looked amazing. From that moment until the end of the game,
they were in quicksand.
Dominated by the Packers for the most part. And by the way, there were a couple of drop picks by Green Bay in that game. It could have gone very, very differently than it did. I wouldn't be scared of Minnesota. Wouldn't be a fun game necessarily. But I guess my point is there's not really great teams. I was talking to someone last night who said the Bucs are the best team in the NFC. Maybe. I mean, I don't know if that's true or that's not. I know that last week the Bucs lost to the Denver Broncos 26-7. So maybe they are the best team in the NFC after beating Philly by 17. My point is nobody's that good.
Mm-hmm.
Washington at 3-1, just sheer resume style. If you take Commanders off of the ballot, if you take their name out of the equation and everyone's resumes were lined up, I think a lot of people would pick them out of the pile and go, this team's punted once since week one. This team has more scoring drives than incompletions. This team has three punts all year.
I'll take that team.
They have averaged 40 points each of the last two games. And their defense seems to be going in the right direction. Give me them. And you go, all right, you pick the Commanders.
You go, wait, are you sure? Can I turn in?
This quarterback is number one in QB DVOA this season. I'll take this team. It's Washington, right? So I'm not trying to convince anybody that they're going to continue winning every single week or that this is all not going to come crashing down. But I do think that when you can move the ball and score, you have a chance. And for the first time since Jay Gruden, who joins us at 5, they can move the ball and they can score. So they're going to have a chance every week. When you have a quality quarterback, you're going to win. And like with Cousins as an example, they were never an 11-12 win team, but the floor was always you're going to be an 8-9 win-ish type team. If you can squeak out some wins and kick a field goal and make some plays, you get a big takeaway, block a kick, maybe it becomes 10 wins. The floor gets higher, and they are in that bucket right now, it would appear. But I just love the fact that the division is there for you. Take Washington out of the equation. The Eagles have lost to the Falcons in a collapse and the Bucs in a game where they didn't really show up. They were lucky to have beat New Orleans, and they barely beat Green Bay on a slip and slide. You start that game over, it's 50-50 toss-up. They're going into a bye week. Cowboys, anybody like what they saw from Dallas on Monday Night Football against the Giants? Squeaking out a win against New York after getting embarrassed by the Saints and destroyed for three quarters by the Ravens? It's there for you, man. This is fun. 800-636-1067. All right, let's talk Jaden Daniels. What'd you think?
We don't have enough time for all the different things that I like or that I'm excited about. To me, here's one. And this goes directly to one of the questions, criticisms, whatever you want to call it, that people had. Everyone was panicked about the number of sacks that he took. And for those of us that are devotees, kept yelling, not all sacks are created equal. The reason we care about a sack is not just to hear ourselves talk, but it means it's usually a drive killer. Warren Sharp has some great stats. If you're curious about what happens typically on a drive where there is a sack, pretty much, almost to a percentage point, points don't get scored on that drive. It is a drive killer. That's because it's an 8, 9, 10-yard loss. Oftentimes it leads to fumbles or turnovers, that kind of pressure. For those of us that kept screaming this, Daniels isn't taking 10-yard losses very often, right? It's not the 12-yard loss. It's a 2-yard loss. Now, it's not good, but it's not a drive killer. Even to that point, he's been sacked fewer times than Kyler Murray, than Sam Darnold, than C.J. Stroud, than Jalen Hurts, than Matt Stafford, half the sacks of Caleb Williams. Some of these things are credit to the offensive line, credit to Cliff Kingsbury and the design, but also Jaden Daniels deserves a ton of credit here.
Yesterday especially.
Yeah.
10 pressures, zero sacks.
It's not 0.0. It's not Mark Rippon behind the 91 Redskins offensive line, but for a rookie quarterback going through this, having to, you know, make some plays here or there, the get out of trouble gene he's got in spades, that's been really impressive to me.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.